This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, we are continuing our Sefer Orchot Tzadikim, the Ways of the Righteous. And we're still in the introduction. And we are discussing the right way for a person, the right path in life. What is the right path in life? And the answer is to search for Yirat Shamayim, fear of heaven. Shlomo Melech says, if you search for Yirat Shamayim like you search for silver, then maybe you'll find it. Now we know that these organizations, these companies that are looking for precious metals, they invest a lot of money on research, where to dig, and on equipment, tremendous amounts of money on research equipment. So too, we have to research ourselves and try and find a mechanism by which we can get to Yirat Shamayim, or fear of heaven. So he continues, and he says there's a lot of different kinds of personalities, which we talked about last week. And most people are flaky. That's one of the problems we have today. Most people today are flaky. What does that mean? Sometimes they go to shul, they don't go to shul. They feel like going to a class, they go to class. They don't feel like this, they don't feel like that. They go. They're wishy-washy. They go wherever the wind blows, right? Some people come to Sudat Shir, but they won't go to Mincha, and they go to Mincha, they won't go to Sudat Shir, and they go to Arvid, but they won't go to Arvid. So everyone has their own distractions. Yeah, put it that way. It's a nice way of putting it. So there's the distractions. People have distractions. So we have to search for the silver. We have to go for the silver, or go for the gold. Today it's a better expression, to go for the gold. But before we do that, we have to know the value of what we're looking for. And this is one of the biggest problems, is we can't see the value in this world of Torah and Mitzvot. We cannot see the value of this world of Torah and Mitzvot. So all we have is our traditions. All we have is our heritage, which tells us how valuable these things are, how precious these commodities are. Because today you can't see, you learn Torah, you don't see the preciousness of the Torah. You go to pray, you don't see the preciousness of the prayer. So for example, he gives an example. A person who loans money to his companion, and the borrower comes to pay him back in silver by weight. If the lender does not know the accuracy of the scale, or he doesn't know how much the silver is worth, he's very near to being tricked. He doesn't know the value of silver. He doesn't know the scale is accurate, not accurate. So sometimes the guy's not giving him real silver, he's giving dross, he's giving him garbage silver, all mixtures of different materials. Or sometimes he takes too light a weight. Or sometimes he all tricks him in all kinds of errors because he's ignorant. So if he's not an expert in all these things, then he'll be paid as if he would at a wrong weight. So that's the thing, is we have to, number one is we have to know what the worth of the silver is. And we have to know how to differentiate between different kinds of silver. We have to know how to measure the silver. And that's what Proverbs in chapter 25, verse 4 says. Take away the dross from the silver. Okay? And purge the vessel. So we have to know how to clean the vessel, how to purge the silver, and try and find how to do the mitzvah in the best possible way. That's what we mean. Purify the silver. You're learning Torah. So learn Torah in the best possible way. You're praying anyway. So pray in the best possible way. I see people maybe washing hands for bread, but they don't have the washing hands. Say the bracha after they dry their hands. You got to say the bracha before you dry the hands. So a person's got to know how to do the mitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah anyway. We like you're measuring silver, but you don't know how to measure the silver. You're measuring silver, but you don't even know if it's silver. A person's got to do it properly. Everything's got to be done properly. So then he says, and we're talking about personal traits. A person should find the best possible traits. They've got to search their traits. Am I too angry a person? Am I too happy a person? Am I too sad a person? Am I too miserly a person? And there's some people who just, their traits are not fixed. They don't have fixed traits. One day they're happy. One day they're sad. One day it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. I see so many people. They're just one day up, one day down. One day sad, one day happy. One day this, one day that. One day mad, one day calm. We have to fix our traits. We don't have traits otherwise. And that's the most dangerous thing. One day I'm like this, one day I'm like that. I'm not stable. A person's got to be stable. And that's what he talks about. Zman echad ochez minhagzeh. One day he's doing this thing. That's his custom. Zman echad estalek moto minhag. And the other day he's doing a different custom. And that's what he does all the time. He said, like a person who wants to go to a certain city. He doesn't know the way. He doesn't know all the side roads. And one day it goes this way, one day it goes that way, one day it goes there, it goes back the way it came, it goes a different way, it goes a third way, fourth way, and never gets to his destination. And therefore, a person, we should have mercy on these kinds of people. But how do you treat people who don't know where they're going? So as many Jews today are lost. Lost Jews. What do you mean lost Jews? They have no idea what to do as a Jew. What does being a Jew mean? Is it bagels and lox and cream cheese? Or what is it? Fundraising? What is Judaism today? Today a lot of Jews are anti-Jewish. They've joined our enemies against us. It's a terrible tragedy. See, who's leading the movements against Israel are Jews who are anti-Jewish. Crazy. So they're so lost. So how do we treat them? So number one, he says, don't hate them. L'chein yesh lachmo. You have to have mercy on them. Feel mercy for these people. So look at this. He says they are drowning in havlei hashav, in vanity. People who are drowning in vanity. To teach them righteousness, teach them how to weigh righteousness, teach them what silver means when the Torah says search for the silver, so that a person will have the wisdom to be able to choose for themselves and to get to the destination of Yirat Shamayim, of fear of heaven, which is the end result of all these things. What are we trying to get to? What is our destination? And the answer is trying to get to the destination where Hashem is supreme. Our boss is God. That's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to the destination that God is the boss, and we have fear of God, and we'll do whatever He says. And this is what Hashem asks from every person. And this is mentioned in Parshat Re'eh, Parshat Ekev. Moshe Rabbeinu says over and over again, Ma Hashem Elokei Hashem Emach, what does God want from you? Ki im lira. Only to fear Hashem. So we have to fear Hashem. That's the destiny. And most Jews are lost in garbage, in the vanities of the time. It's very easy. It's very easy to get involved with the internet and all these technology. And you can use it for good and you can use it bad. You can use it to get the art scroll online. You can get art scroll on your computer. Or you can lose for other things as well. So a person can get lost. It's very important not to lose direction in life. And that's the reason why we have to learn Musar. Because without the Musar, without the ethics, a person will lose direction in life. Because the world is so confusing. There's so many things out there. There's so many things that say, follow me, I'll give you a good time. Just follow me, I'll give you a good time. Without the signposts, without these Jewish signposts, we'd be lost completely. So the main thing is Yirat Shamayim. But a person can know, what is Yirat Shamayim? What is Yirat Shamayim? Fear of God. There's different kinds of fear of God. Sometimes a person is superstitious. He's scared. Is that fear of God? And the answer is no, it's not fear of God. It's fear of superstition. It's fear of garbage. And that's why it's very important to fight against these things, of stupid things which people consider vanities, and they don't have any real substance. So those are false silver. That's the dross we're talking about. No need, no deed. Look what he says. No deed is considered worthy unless it contains pure reverence. This is wild. This is scary. A person does a mitzvah. Why are they doing the mitzvah? Are they doing it because of God, or are they doing it because of other reasons? So I'm not saying don't do it. Obviously, don't do it, but there's obviously a higher level. A person does a mitzvah, do it for the right reasons. You're doing the mitzvah anyway, do it for the right reasons. Therefore, it is necessary to make known to everyone, every person who wants to make their souls closer to the attainment of good qualities, must mingle reverence to Hashem with each and every quality. Everything you do has to have some awe of Hashem. A person says, Birkat HaMazon. See, we rattle it off. It's so hard to have kavanah, it's so hard to do it properly. So hard to do the mitzvah properly, to pray properly, to give tzedakah properly. So hard. Get bugged by this one, that one. You don't know who's telling the truth, telling lies. Don't know anything. We don't know anything. It's so hard to do these mitzvot properly. So the bottom line is, I'm doing it because Hashem says to do it. That's it. I don't know what's right, I don't know what's wrong. Hashem, you're the one who knows. I'm doing it for you. So that strengthens all the good qualities in a person. I'm doing it for Hashem. So fear of Hashem, a reverence of Hashem, is the thread. Look at the beautiful parable over here. It's the thread that runs through the pearls. You're making a pearl necklace, right? So every mitzvah is a pearl. Such a beautiful concept. Every word of Torah we learn is a pearl. If the thread is reverence to Hashem, that joins all the pearls together. That's your necklace. You're making a necklace for Hashem. So without that, without the thread that runs through the pearls, the necklace will fall apart. And that's what we're saying. The thread is the main thing because it keeps the necklace together. What is that thread? The thread is reverence of Hashem that should go through all our mitzvot. That should be the one keeping all the mitzvot. There's no doubt if the knot should tear, all the pearls will fall. So fear of Hashem strengthens all the qualities. If a person undoes the knot of reverence, all the good qualities will fall away. And you see that sometimes people go off the derech and they throw away their fear of Hashem. And you see everything falling apart in their lives. The whole life falls apart. It's a terrible thing. And when a person has no good qualities, then they have neither Torah nor Ten Commandments. They have nothing. For the whole Torah depends on the constant improvement of the qualities. So as regards the quality, he says, the good and the bad. The wise person can make good ones or bad ones, but the fool can make evil ones out of good ones. So a person who is wise can take a bad quality and turn it to a good quality. For example, he's bloodthirsty. He wants to shed blood. So Vilna Gaon says, be a shochet, be a moel. So a wise man can take the bad qualities and make them good. Whereas a fool take his good qualities and make them bad. So he may be a very generous person. You see, many generous people. What is he donating for? He's donating for the arts. He's donating to build a museum for the arts. Why? He wants to civilize man. You think by learning art, you're going to civilize man. It's going to be the opposite.
Whales.
Huh?
Whales.
Whales?
Whales.
Love the whales. Yeah, save the whales. Okay, it's not so bad, saving the whales, but just art. I want to civilize human beings by teaching them modern art. You know, modern art has no meaning at all. It's valueless, totally. It's sugar. I'd say it's crazy. People create crazy money for these. It has no meaning at all. I can read meaning into it. I can read meaning into everything. I can read meaning into modern art. Read meaning into it. Okay. As one who walks in the darkness, it says, the improvement of his qualities is impossible. One quality will destroy all of his merits. For example, one who takes great pride in their deeds and boasts and always about himself with the shame of his companions. So he's boasting, I'm so great, look at what I'm doing, I'm building this mitzvah, that mitzvah. So he says, because he's getting honor through his companion's disgrace, such a person is like, fills a barrel with fine wine, but there's a hole in the bottom of the barrel. And that hole is, he's doing it to dishonor someone else. So therefore it's not done with reverence to God, it's done for another reason, of putting someone else down. So even though the person is filled with Torah, he's going to lose everything because of this evil quality. So again, one evil quality can make a person lose everything. Such a scary thought. A person has one evil quality and they're doing it that makes their motives wrong. And if the motives are wrong, then all they're doing is, instead of serving God, they're serving themselves. It twists everything around. There are few in the world who recognize the truth. There are those who are not wise enough to recognize it. Look at this. Just like a person, look at this, he gives some beautiful parables over here. Just like a person who has both legs amputated, cannot climb a ladder. Neither can one ascend the stairway of wisdom if he has no understanding. And that's why the first prayer we pray for every day is Ata Chonen Le'adam Da'at. Pray for wisdom. Because a person without wisdom is like an amputee. Para. Imagine, you can't climb the ladder of service for God without wisdom. A person needs the wisdom. But there's also a person who is wise, but has been impressed with the lusts of the world from his youth. Scary. So you have wise people. They've been impressed. So you see so many people just running after money. Money. Scary. Why? Because that's been impressed on him. That's the main thing in life. Or other things which are worse than money. Money is not so bad. That's other things worse than money. And therefore it's very difficult for the person to escape from this trap. And there is this person who does not have the wisdom to recognize what is right, what is wrong. So he wants to be good, he just doesn't know how. He doesn't have the wisdom to figure out what is good and what is bad. So therefore he walks in a darkness. Again, another parable. He's like a person, look at this, who has a hidden treasure in the house, but can't see the treasure. He sells the house for someone else. How many Jews are selling their heritage for nothing? For a pottage, like Esav. He sold his heritage for pottage. They're selling the heritage for garbage. Garbage. What are they getting returned? Nothing. Garbage. Not just getting nothing returned, maybe getting negative dividends from them. So it's terrible to see how many we have to have mercy on them. I mean, it's a real tragedy. We're witnessing a tragedy around us. We're witnessing a tragedy. Today, yesterday I was in Manhattan, and one of the things I saw was spas for dogs. Spas for dogs. Like, see these big, it's like a big building. Where's a spa for dogs? So you leave your dog there, they look after your dog for a whole day. It's like a drop off. Like, instead of dropping off your kid at the preschool, you drop off your dog, and it's daycare for dogs. It's not just daycare, they return the dog to you fed, obviously, and walk. They walk the dog, and they shampoo, and the hairstyle, the wash.
They have friends.
Even better than the kids. I mean, I wish they would come back with a bath, at least. So these dogs, and you see the dogs in the window. This is a wild, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I saw like 40 dogs sitting over there, waiting for the, sitting there so quietly. The nails are done, everything's done, they're sparkling, these dogs are sparkling. You know what? They're waiting for their owners to pick them up. It's an amazing sight. See how well behaved they're sitting over there waiting for their. But look how much money is spent on this. How much money people just. You know why? People are very lonely. Why are they so lonely? I don't know. Never got married, never had kids. I don't know what's going on. Single. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. But that society is twisted today. The people spend more on their dogs. You see all the people are homeless, and the dogs are look smart. They're so well kept. Wow, that's amazing. Probably costs thousands and thousands to look after those dogs. It's a big business. Animals are a big business today.
Like Yeshiva Jewish?
More than Yeshiva Jewish. I had a case a couple of years ago. I saw a woman, unfortunately, she was walking a big dog. I said, what's going on? She said, Rabbi, we got a dog. I said, why didn't you have another kid? She says, you know, maybe you're right. It's costing me more than a kid. I've got to pay for all the vaccinations and this and that. So why didn't you have another kid? Crazy. What a waste of your life. A waste of your opportunity. A waste of your potential. By a dog. So Hashem says, no, what do you do with life? Well, I had a big dog. Okay, you get credit for looking after an animal. Okay. But you didn't have to go and buy an animal. You didn't have to pay for the animal. Consider, if a person has many different qualities, each and every quality will tear at the mind of the person. This one pulls him here, this one pulls him there. All our desires are putting us in different directions. One desire says, do this, and it'll be good for you. You do this, and it'll be good for you. One, do this, and it'll be good for you. And in this struggle, the evil desire helps a person choose the lowest desire. Look at another beautiful. This book is the beauty parables he brings. It's like a person who walks in the wilderness. Bears, lions, leopards, wolves, and many other beasts of prey confront the person. The person should open his eyes and fight against each one. Because if he turns his eyes away from one of them, they're going to rip him apart. So it is with a person. The evil qualities, lust, arrogance, hate, anger, similar ones, keep rolling about in his heart. If he blinds himself to them, does not correct them, they'll root out from his heart the light of truth. And that's why it's important to always think, I'm being attacked by my evil inclination all the time. Non-stop. There's no doubt about it. Every second of the day, the evil inclination is pulling at us, trying to pull us this way, that way. And that's why David HaMelech says, I put Hashem in front of me all the time. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. I place God in front of my eyes all the time because God is my compass. So all these things are just vanities of the world. Putting in this direction, putting in that direction, putting in that direction. I've got to set God as my compass. Shividi Hashem Nei Tamid. And this is the first halakha in Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch. First halakha. Open the Shulchan Aruch and see. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says, Itgaber Kari Lakuma Boke. It says, get up like a lion to wake up in the morning to go pray. And the Ramah adds over there, Shividi Hashem Nei Tamid. Put God before your eyes all the time. That's a Ramah. First Ramah in the whole Shulchan Aruch.
What does that mean?
It means, if you have a question of what to do or not, put God in front of you. Let's say, what does God want from me to fix? Let God fix my compass. So when a person is born, their bodies and their wisdom is very weak. As we know, a child. What wisdom does a child have? Instincts. They don't have any wisdom. All the people, when they're born, they eat and they drink. But even worse than animals. Why? Because animals can help themselves. Children are helpless. We're born helpless completely. So just like our bodies are born helpless, our souls are born helpless. Scary thought. We're born helpless physically, we're born helpless spiritually. Amazing. Look what he says. And just like a person has to trouble themselves to learn how to walk, learn how to talk, learn how to learn this. It just like the struggle to learn. If you've ever been to school as a little kid, God, it's a big struggle. People don't realize what a big struggle it is. Some kids are very bright. They can pick it up by themselves. A lot of people just got homework and this and that. So it goes into the head and You come home and you bother your parents, help me, you get a tutor, you get this. It's such a pain. It's a pain to learn. It's a struggle to grow. So how much more so it's a struggle to grow spiritually? And that's the part that society is missing. That's the point of society is missing completely. Just like we have to teach our children how to grow physically, we have to teach our children to grow spiritually. Because they're both growing at the same time. The body's growing, but if the soul is not growing at the same rate as the body, you're going to find the body's going to overpower the soul. If the soul is growing more than the body, the soul will overpower the body. So that's a very important idea over here. Hadam sarich Torah gadol. A person needs to spend a lot of energy on growing his body. V'gam kein sarich yoter tikkun l'nishmato. How much more so he needs to learn how to grow his soul, to fix his soul. Understand what wisdom is, understand which way is right, which way is wrong, which the path in life to go. Because without a teacher, a person will be like an animal. And a person's intellect will be like a blackboard, even though you can't see today blackboards, they're called whiteboards today. It'll be like a whiteboard with nothing written on it, and whatever it's available to write anything. And usually what's written on it is garbage. Okay, so all the vanities are written in it. It's so hard today to be right, straight, and honest, and spiritual today. It's so hard to be spiritual today. Because the materialism is in the air. This is America. But it's not just in America now. It's all over the world, because Hollywood is all over the world. The movies are all over the world. So it's very hard to fight the common values today. Look at the common values. Violence. I can't say other things. Worse. Okay. So these are the things, the values that are spread today. Those are the values today. And we are born empty. We don't know which way to go. So how much more so we have to spend time teaching our children physically how to grow, but also spiritually to grow. So a person's heart is like a whiteboard, empty. Until it's full of all garbage. They write on the garbage. But a wise man, wise person, will write good things on it. His obligations in the world. And through this, he will teach his children. And it will get to a great level. So a person on their heart, on their intellect, their aims and goals in life. A person's going to think about, what are your goals in life? What is my goals in life? What am I here for? What am I trying to do? So a person's going to write in their heart, on the whiteboard in their heart, what are my goals in life? What is worthwhile? What am I doing in my life which is worthwhile? What can I do which is worthwhile? How can I serve God? Because most people have worthless aims and goals in life. The most dangerous are those with a lot of money trying to influence society to follow their own goals. Oh gosh, you see today, you see these multi-billionaires and they try and guide society, you know, donate money to certain politicians they like. It's very, very dangerous. You see what's going on today. And not just people, but companies. And they get away with everything. They get away with everything because they're the ones influencing society. They're the ones influencing the politicians who make the laws. So they get Hashem would hold them responsible one day because they ruined the whole society. They could ruin the whole society, just like Nimrod. In yesterday's parasha, he destroyed the whole society. Let's build a tower against God. Let's fight against God. So one person can destroy the whole world. Whereas Abraham Avinu, the other way around, trying to advertise God's name. This week's parasha coming up. He advertised wherever he went. He built an altar and he advertised God's name. Called out the name of God. Advertising Hashem's name in the world. Is that what we should try and do? We should try and advertise Hashem's name in the world to bring people closer to God, to morality, to spirituality. Otherwise, all people know about is vanities. All the vanities of the world. We see it's amazing. In the last few centuries, we've seen lots of different ideas. The world of ideas, right? You have socialism, you have capitalism, you have fascism, you have all the isms came along. Every ism killed more people than ever before. Every new ism, in the name of Marxism, in the name of communism, in the name of fascism, look how many people, millions and millions of people were killed. Amazing. So we have the antidote. What is the antidote? Values, values, true values, God-based values, spiritual values. So we have to, that's our job. Our job as human beings is to learn how to grow. It's to grow ourselves, not just physically, but also grow ourselves spiritually. That's our problem. We're failing at the growth of spiritual growth. We see the child growing and we just can't see the soul. That's the trouble. You can't see the soul. You can see his body. Imagine the mother says, my kid, the first thing they do, they take him to the doctor. It is the way, every time they go. Why they weigh the kid? Because they want to see if he's grown. Otherwise, there's something wrong. They worry about him. He didn't gain weight. The mother said, I didn't gain weight. He's not walking. He's not this. There's guidelines of growth. The child has to exhibit every age. He's got to exhibit certain things. Imagine we had that ability to measure the soul. We don't have. Why aren't we concerned about the soul as much as we're concerned about the body? My son. There's a famous story in the Gemara. The mother comes to Rabbi Akiva. My son is a thief. He's a robber. He has no Yirat Shamayim. Rabbi Akiva says, cover his head. Give him some Yirat Shamayim. You see this today. First thing the kids do, they don't know you're trying to take off the yarmulke. First thing. And they go downhill very rapidly from there. So you've got to add some Yirat Shamayim. How do you add Yirat Shamayim? You've got to give a reminder to a person. There's a God above you. This is a reminder. But unfortunately today, many people wear the yarmulke. They don't forget it, what it's about. They wear a head covering, but that's the idea. What's the idea? The idea is God is watching me. God is here. God is above me. I'm here. This is the proof. I carry God on my head, literally. No, don't take it literally. The idea is a reminder of Hashem on my head. And that's what Mishlei says. Tie them on your fingers. Kedvam aluach lebecha. Write it on the tablets of your heart. Write what? And the answer is your goals. Who you want to be, who you're trying to be, what values you try to have. So the fools write all the rubbish on their hearts. And we, the intelligent people, should write upon the tablets of the hearts the writing of Hashem, which is the foundation of the Torah, the foundation of the mitzvot. Until their souls shine like the radiance of the firmament. Kezor harakia. It's interesting because we say this in the El Malei Rachamim. For the dead. May their souls shine like the radiance of the sky, or the firmament. But we, when we're alive, if we're not shining now, when are we going to shine? How can the dead shine when they're alive, they didn't shine? So we have to learn how to shine the boards of our heart. Furthermore, Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, even a child is known by his doing. So you can tell what kind of child that is by what he does. So we can tell a kid by what they do. What values does the kid have by what they do? Same thing with people, adults. We see what they do and then we see the value system. So you can see by children. Their modesty, embarrassment. I mean, I was in shul yesterday. I'm not telling you which shul. And, it's a new shul. It's amazing. This rabbi did. In 1.5 years, he has 300 kids. They're not kids, they're young adults. Young adults. They're just going to work. Young professionals. Oh, wow. 300 young professionals coming to shul. In 1.5 years, he built up the shul from nothing. I'm not saying what it is.
There's a thirst for it.
But during the prayers, a lot of talking. Lots and lots of talking. Shmona Esrei, silence. Torah reading, non-stop. It's hard to sit over there. It was very hard for me to even hear this Torah reading because there's a lot of talking. But it's a brand new show. The rabbi is not going to talk about it yet. But when he talks, pin drop silence. It's tremendous respect for him. But what I want to say is, you see the value system of people. People come to shul. They know they have to come to shul. They know they want to come to shul. But then haval, when they're there, they just waste it. It's a wasted opportunity. Okay, at least they get the prayer, the Shmona Esrei, at least, thank God. It's quiet. But I'm saying, what a wasted opportunity. You have a chance. Here we are. Every word you say is a diamond. You have a chance to say many diamonds. Instead of saying diamonds, you're saying garbage. Imagine. Instead of picking the diamonds from the diamonds, you're picking all the garbage off the road. So it's amazing how the Yetzirah, even in the middle of a shul, can fool a person. That's what I'm saying. That's a trick. So you can tell the people by their values. So a person says, shh. But there's no embarrassment. People continue talking as if no one said shh. When I was there last time, no one said shush. So now you're hearing more shushes. That's amazing. That's great. That's already good. That's already an improvement. But you see, some people have no shame. And that's what we're talking about. You can tell a person by their value system. So at least be embarrassed. At least have some shame. No, blatant. You can look at them and they don't care. You're looking at them, not looking at them. So some kids have modesty and embarrassment. While in others, impudence is apparent. Some have desires, and some guide themselves to the good. You can see, look. See, when a kid grows up, does he want to go to yeshiva when after school, or he wants to go to kibbutz after school, he wants to join the army. You can see exactly what kind of kid that is. What's his value system? What's the value system? So already in a person's youth, you can tell what he's going to be when they get older. What are the value system? The only difference is when a person's older, they don't have the strength to show their value system sometimes. You know, everyone ends up in the same old age home. You don't know what they're up to. And, you know, the easiest thing to do is to be a rabbi in old age home. You know why? When the guy needs a minyan, he says, roll him in. And they roll in the minyan. That's how they bring the minyan. They just roll him in. It's amazing. I've seen it. It's amazing. Just, they bring everyone in. They don't ask questions. Bring him in. It's mincha time. Everyone gets rolled into the minyan. So when the person is old, they have no way of getting away from it. Hopefully it's an Orthodox home. You get rolled into the minyan. Whether you're Orthodox or not Orthodox, you get rolled in with the people. Everyone gets rolled in. But when a person's young, they can say, I don't want to go. They have the brains and they have the ability to go somewhere else. So, as for youth, for whom folly has become great, it is still possible for a person to swerve them to the good path. And that's the hard part today, to be a good educator. To swerve our youth into a good part. It's such a gift. It's such a blessing. To have a person like that who can steer our youth, because our youth get lost very fast. So, for example, you have a guy called Rabbi Buchwald. Rabbi Buchwald, what a tzaddik. Can you imagine what kind of labor the man has done over the years? He got so many people involved and taught them how to pray and taught them how to learn Torah. I mean, what amazing merit he has. So someone like that, we can work with our youth, so we're the young professionals, work with the young people and bring them back. So young people at least have a strength. The quality is they can be swerved back. They're still able to influence them. But people who are older, it's much harder. He says they're look at another parable, like a silver tray that has been tarnished over and over again. It's very hard to polish. You know, we have Sefer Torah. Someone's telling me today, I want to polish those Sefer Torah, but it's so hard to polish those Sefer Torah because there's so many years have gone by. So it's tarnish on tarnish on tarnish. It's so hard to polish. So that's the hard part with being an old person who's really, it's far gone. It's hard to get them back because it's very, very hard to polish them. So that is it. Like a person who follows his own way and his habit become deeply sunk into the depths. It's very hard to polish their intelligence. So again, they can distinguish what's clean and what's not clean, what's loud, what's not loud. Because they'll be so used to doing something a certain way. It's like the tarnish that builds up over and over again. So obviously it's much easier to get back the younger people because they're not so tarnished. The soul is not tarnished yet. Okay, so now, this is just the introduction of Orchot Tzadikim. So look what he calls this. He calls this book Sefer Midot, the book of value system. This is the book of Midot, of character traits, of values. And it was written with wisdom to teach person. He doesn't write his name. We don't know who the author of this book is. Which is very smart on one side, because no one can argue with him. No one can say, call him names. Some authors, you know, people always call them names. It's useless. Look at a mistake over here, mistake over there. It's useless.
Can't they just say Baal or Chotzadik?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you say. Baal or Chotzadik. We don't know his name. So look what he says. This is his conclusion of the introduction. Let's just finish it off. Oda Mashlomo. Furthermore, Shlomo Melech says. So even a child is, no, we just discussed it. The children you can change, but the old people is very, very hard to change. So this book is called Sefer Midot, the book of character traits or qualities. It was written with wisdom in order to teach a person knowledge and be a valuable utensil in the hand of every person. So you can use it to correct one's traits and one's deeds. This is the tool of the craftsman. So the craftsman has to have a tool. So diamond maker, diamond polisher, you need the tools to polish a diamond. So he says, we're going to try and polish our souls. You need the tools to polish our souls, and this book is the tool. I'm writing a tool for you to polish your midot, your traits, and therefore a person can correct and take the tool of your art into your hands in order to correct your qualities. And by this, you can see what kind of coins you have, silver coins, gold coins, how you do your mitzvot, how you do your good deeds. Which coin the king has voided. Imagine, what a parable. Imagine, every mitzvah is like a coin. You have gold coins, silver coins, the value of your mitzvah. and you have the prohibitions, which are like coins which the king has, what's it called? Has revoked. Has removed their worth, avoided, and decreed that it should not be minted. So imagine a person doesn't have era, it's like minting a coin which the king decreed not to mint that coin. He voided that coin. I have in my house, I have a £5 note, sterling note, which my mother gave me many years ago, and I never used it. I went back to England. Sorry, it's not in use anymore. It's worthless, basically. They removed the value. So that's, he says, this book will teach you the value of your coins. What's the value of coins? Galia Mitzvot. How to purchase the coin. And the proper value of a coin. As for the coin which the king had decreed it should not be minted, a person should be careful not to circulate. Imagine a person circulates, what's it called, forged currency. What a comparison to an Avera. A person circulates Averot, sins. It's like false currency. A person commands, in big trouble, a person gets into. A person forges $100 notes and starts passing them around. Borrow, can imagine. Wow, what a penalty. Terrible penalty. Same thing, a person is forging Averot and is passing it around to people and persuading them to use it. Imagine. So that's a similar, beautiful parables over here. So every person who has good coinage and collects good coins will attain goodness and joy with every single coin. But a fool who does not know how to weigh and does not know the value of the coin and circulates where the king has declared void, there can be no doubt he will suffer great harm. Beautiful, beautiful parable. So now, if you read this book, he says, you'll know the value of every quality. The good qualities. What are the good qualities you follow? What are the value of the good qualities? And you know those the qualities which the great king has declared void. You will guard yourself against them. So that they shall not be found in you. And you will not receive injury or punishment. In this way, you will attain complete fulfillment. And you will be an artist with the proper tool of your art in your hand. Beautiful, beautiful parables. Now we desire to make known the root of man's qualities and their branches, their worth and their harm. It's our intention to turn natural powers of man from folly to love of correction. So even the simple will try to know the traits of the wise. And may Hashem give us all help to know the righteous paths and the ways of justice, so we may teach the tribes of Yeshurun the congregation of loving kindness. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful introduction. And next week we're going to talk about the first gate, which is a gate of pride. That's Rosh Hashanah next week. One of the things, the worst things to avoid is pride. Pride comes before a fall, so that's the first gate, is to avoid pride. That's Rosh Hashanah. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.